stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through.
The following message is brought to you by Marco Cabono, President, National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want. Yes, we
know the truth. Greetings, fellow Federationists. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, and this is Presidential Release 557. Very hopeful message for each and every one of you that you are safe and warm and have been as the United States has experienced this record-breaking winter storm named Fern. Certainly many Federationists have experienced it. Many have fought through the adversity of the storm to get to Washington, D.C. and are still in Washington, D.C. I am recording this as Capitol Hill visits are still happening as part of our Washington seminar. I did return to Baltimore last evening after our congressional reception. I know that many more people wanted to be on Capitol Hill for our Washington seminar, and many of you even made heroic attempts to get here with what I heard was a record number of flights canceled in the United States, almost impossible for some of you. So thank you for your efforts to get here to be in person, but know there's plenty to do back home to support our legislative efforts if you could not make it. And thank you to those who were able to make it to D.C. in person. I know almost every single member that we had in Washington, D.C. Took on some extra responsibilities, had extra juggling to do, was ready to help wherever needed. So I think this week we definitely showed the true power of the Federation, but also the flexibility. A lot of people say the F stands for flexible, and that definitely was true this week. So thank you for that. The work does continue, and for our affiliates who were not able to get all of their meetings in, either virtually or in person, please know that there is plenty of time, and it's really important that we follow up by completing those meetings and reporting on them, but then also following up with the offices we did meet with and making sure we get the commitment from them. I can tell you that despite the adversity, we did have a great Washington seminar. Our presidents and our Kenneth Jernigan Leadership in Service participants were at our headquarters over the weekend, and we had a plan to meet with them on the Sunday before the Washington seminar, and we moved that to the hotel in D.C. So we all went to D.C. a day early and had our meeting in D.C. Great conversations with our affiliate presidents, doing planning for the work ahead, considering how we build new opportunities in the organization and strengthening the leadership network that we have. So a lot of good work happened there. We had great trainings on Monday and, of course, our great gathering in, which was very energetic in person and great attendance on Zoom by all of you who could not be there. And even on Monday night, the students had their annual auction. And I can tell you, we raised record number of dollars for the student division. So thank you to those who turned out to continue to help our students do what they need to do to advance opportunities for blind students. And then many great meetings on the Hill on Tuesday, those still continuing today. I had an opportunity to sit in with our affiliates on some of the Hill meetings, and it's really fantastic to listen to our local members talk to their members of Congress and staff members about the legislative priorities and articulate it in such an authentic and meaningful way to bring that local flair to it. And then we had a great congressional reception at the end of the day. Yesterday, I think we actually had more members, Federation members on Capitol Hill than there were members of Congress on Capitol Hill. But I can tell you that that really made an impression and certainly made an impression on the three senators who we had at our congressional reception. One of them even was moved to say that he was taking a very hard look at being the Senate sponsor for our Blind Americans Return to Work Act, and that was also discussed in a Hill meeting I was in. So I think coming out of this Washington seminar, we'll have some really great momentum for all our issues, but definitely for the Blind Americans Return to Work Act. If you didn't get a chance to study the fact sheets and get caught up on our issues because you weren't planning to come to Washington seminar, you should still do that. The fact sheets are still available at our website, and we still need your help to push members of Congress and remind them about the work that we have to do. nfb.org/Washington-seminar to find our legislative fact sheets and keep up to date on how we can help. Now, if you weren't able to tune in to the Great Gathering In, or maybe want to refresh, I'm going to put after this presidential release, after our customary endings, in case you missed it, the opening presentation I gave at the Great Gathering In. You may want to try to work that into your chapter meeting, or if you're listening to this outside of the chapter meeting, I offered that presentation for what it's worth, because it might give you some perspective on the important work we're trying to do in Washington, D.C. Now, in the last presidential release, I let you know that I was planning to go to India at the beginning of January, and that trip did happen. I traveled to India to be part of the World Blind Union Officers Meeting in New Delhi. We were hosted quite expertly by the world president, S.K. Runta, and the National Federation of the Blind of India. Now, I didn't know much about the NFB of India. Of course, we share the name. Well, I guess they share our name because we had National Federation of the Blind first. And I was really pleased to learn how important the National Federation of the Blind of the United States has been as an inspiration for the development and continued work of the NFB of India. We don't have a formal relationship with the NFB of India, but of course we share the name National Federation of the Blind, and they have always taken inspiration from what we do. Kenneth Jernigan was very supportive in their development, and the NFB of India is still continuing to fight for rights in India, even as it has made some great progress and has all of the challenges of operating in a developing nation. So I'm looking forward to working more closely with the president of the World Blind Union, who is a member of the NFB of India, and getting to know them better. I hope to provide an opportunity for Federationists to get to know them better. Now, coincidentally, the NFB of India came about in 1973 is when it really took hold. And 1973 is an important Federation year in many ways. And as a matter of fact, it happens to be the highlighted year in this week's episode of Walking Alone and Marching Together, episode 13. So hopefully you all are tuning in and getting caught up on Walking Alone and Marching Together. Thought it was quite fortuitous that it came up this week. 1973, of course, was the first Washington seminar, which is highlighted in this week's edition of Walking Alone and Marching Together. But also highlighted in that episode is the 1973 banquet speech, Is History Against Us? And as I was coming to record this release, I thought this is a good thing to lift up to our members, because this speech in particular by Dr. Jernigan discusses how history has told the story of blind people and how that differs from the reality of the story, especially when blind people have written the story. I call this banquet speech out to you as a great resource for a conversation about philosophy, about our work, for discussion at our chapter meetings, and definitely to bring a connection to how we capture and tell our stories in 2026. It is also a good opportunity for our chapters to generate some ideas, discussion about our future Museum of the Blind People's Movement, an initiative that we now call the Blind Unbound Initiative. I would love for you to use this speech to discuss what stories would you want to have in a Museum of the Blind People's Movement? What stories would you want to be featured, and educational learnings would you want to be the focus of a traveling exhibit that might come to your local community that could be curated by your local chapter? Your ideas, thoughts, reflections, inspiration from the work of the Federation, but also from Dr. Jernigan's 1973 banquet speech, would be really powerful. And I would add to that, include any questions that your chapter members might have about our Blind Unbound initiative, our effort to increase the storytelling and the archiving of material in the organized blind movement. Send your questions, your ideas to museum@nfb.org. Maybe we'll make them the source of future presidential releases and or other conversations that we might have in the organization. I think this is a great resource for you to consider. And I think just the conversation and reflection on the 1973 banquet speech, which continues to be very, very relevant even today, would be fantastic. So I call that to your attention. You know, as long as we're talking about getting information, staying plugged into the Federation, one of the things that came up this week is that we learned that a recent update to the Amazon devices might have made it more difficult for some members to access our NFB skill on their Amazon devices. This happened when some people had trouble tuning in on those devices to the Great Gathering In. If you recently updated your Amazon device, you may now have to update what you say to your device to initiate our Nation's Blind Skill. So you may need to say Open Nation's Blind Skill, and that should work for you. Before, you didn't necessarily have to say skill, but we have found that with some of the updates, some people are having trouble initiating the skill unless they use specifically the words Nation's Blind Skill. So try that, and I hope it works for you. NFBRN is still there and operating, and of course, our live events will also appear there. If you do have trouble still accessing this skill, or for that matter, are having trouble with any of our publications or access methods, please reach out to our communications group. That's communications with an S at nfb.org. They would love to hear from you. They would love to help, and especially want your feedback to make sure we continue to deliver the latest information to you. Speaking of information, I also wanted to mention that recently we have created a new email communication that we call the NFB Member Digest. And this is a communication that we've put together based on feedback from members wanting to batch some things together to be a quick snapshot of what's happening in the organization and to put information in one place in front of the membership. Now, if you say, well, I haven't been getting the NFB Member Digest via email, it might be because your membership record is not up to date in our central database. And so if you haven't been getting the email, you expect to want to please talk to your affiliate or chapter membership coordinator. Make sure that your membership is listed as current in the NFB database? Well, first, I guess you should make sure your membership is actually current at the chapter level. And then if you're not getting it, make sure that your chapter has changed it in our database so you continue to get member-driven information like the Member Digest email. And give us feedback, again, communications@nfb.org, on what you think. Is this helpful? What else would you like to see in it? Again, it's not meant to replace our publications, but to be an enhancement to make sure that we're keeping our members up to date. If you are a president or a membership coordinator and you still are having some struggles with our member management tools, please reach out to membership@nfb.org. Happy to support you and help you make sure all of our members are connected to the right resources. This gives me an opportunity to preview that we will have a presidential release live coming up on March 5th. That's our current plan. So please put March 5th, the evening of March 5th, on your calendar for our next presidential release live. We haven't had one in a while. Things have been very busy, so I'm looking forward to having another live event. And since that's coming up, just remind you that we'd love to hear your ideas, topics you'd like to see and have us cover on the presidential release live, questions, anything like that. And of course, that includes these recorded releases. Would love your feedback. You can send that to communications. You can also write directly to me at officeofthepresident@nfb.org. Please help shape these monthly releases, but also our live events, especially as we get into registration season for convention and into our national convention in Austin, which I know we will be talking about at the March presidential release, both the live and recorded versions. That's what I have to present here for our February release. We have spring conventions already starting in February. Lots of follow-up from our Washington seminar. Lots of great Federation activities on the calendar. And so with that, I will leave you with some of the customary endings for the February 2026 release. Now, we've had a great ice storm that has swept the nation, and I really wanted to tell you an ice-related joke for this release, but it did slip my mind. But I do have one here, which is, why did the snowman call a meeting? Well, to break the ice, of course. And if you believe that the endings on this release feel a little bit repetitive, it's probably just because Groundhog's Day is coming up. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind.
The 2026 Washington Seminar of the National Federation of the Blind is now in order. In January of 1776, Thomas Paine published Common Sense. What made that pamphlet revolutionary was not simply its call for independence, but the way it framed that call. Paine did not argue that independence was heroic or dramatic. He argued that it was obvious. He insisted that paternal rule had lost its legitimacy and that people long treated as dependents were fully capable of governing themselves. Reconciliation, he said, was no longer rational. Independence was simply common sense. In November of 1940, Jacobus Ten Broeck made a similar declaration on behalf of blind Americans. At the time the National Federation of the Blind was founded. Blind people were treated much like the colonies once had been, spoken for, managed by others, and constrained by low expectations, presented as protection. Decisions about our lives were made without us, justified by charity rather than equality, by control rather than self-determination. Our federation rejected that model outright. We asserted that blind people are not wards, not clients, and not objects of care, but independent, self-directing individuals capable of full participation in society. We insisted that blind people must speak for ourselves and shape the policies that govern our lives, reflecting the very values upon which our nation was founded. Like Payne, Dr. Tenbrook and our founding Federationist did not ask for special status. We claimed normalcy. We claimed agency. We claimed independence. And just as in 1776, that claim was not radical, it was common sense. That is what brings us to our nation's capital today. Independence does not sustain itself. It must be claimed, defended, and advanced, even as our nation prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary. Our laws and policies continue to be shaped by misconceptions, low expectations, and charity rather than independence for the blind. Blind Americans have come to Capitol Hill because we expect to do what self-governing people must do: speak directly to those who craft the rules that shape our lives. We do not come asking to be taken care of. We come insisting on equal access, equal opportunity, and equal responsibility. Our presence here proves the principle that we advance. Blind people know what we need. We know how to build solutions. We know how to lead. Our independence is not a theory or an aspiration. It is self-evident, and it is our daily experience. Advocating for its recognition is not radical. It is common sense. Congress needs our advice and guidance because our first branch of government does not yet include enough blind experience for our solutions to be obvious. But do not worry, America. The blind are here to move beyond the nonsense and contribute meaningfully to achieve this nation's ideals. For nearly a century, programs in education, employment, and independent living have been shaped through authentic advocacy by blind people themselves. These efforts have enabled blind children to receive instruction and materials in Braille so they could grow into fully contributing, tax-paying adults across every sector of our economy. These programs have supported newly blind individuals with meaningful rehabilitation, allowing them to continue offering their talents to employers rather than being forced into dependency. Independent living programs, though dramatically underfunded, have allowed blind seniors to remain in their homes, caring for grandchildren and living full lives instead of relying on costly custodial care. Yet, after 250 years, some claim that eliminating these programs represents progress. We, the blind, respond clearly. Encourage our greater independence, and America will receive far more in return. That is common sense. In 2026, technology touches nearly every aspect of life. Yet, accessibility has not been built into all of the tools of modern progress. If blind people are given control over purchasing the accessible technology we need, we will unlock potential that benefits the entire nation. Independence, self-determination, and equal opportunity are not lofty policy aspirations for the blind. They are common sense solutions. Nearly a century ago, our nation established Social Security, and since 1940, blind Americans have played a significant role in making it meaningful. Yet, one policy remains glaringly illogical. Our nation encourages blind people to work, but only up to an arbitrary and inadequate earnings threshold, beyond which independence is punished rather than rewarded. We offer a better way, a solution that strengthens independence, streamlines government oversight, increases tax contributions, and encourages participation in the American dream. The Blind Americans Return to Work Act is not radical policy. It is common sense. We come to Congress not as partisans, but as Americans. We are not Republicans or Democrats first, not liberals, Greens, or independents. We are citizens who happen to be blind. Our work is not about ideology. It is about equality. We bring practical solutions grounded in lived experience, informed by responsibility, and aimed at strengthening the nation we share. By advocating together across political lines, we affirm a fundamental democratic truth. Self-governed people solve problems best when they come as equals, committed not to politics, but to the ongoing work of forming a more perfect union. This is how blind people come together. This is how independence is claimed, protected, and advanced. This is how common sense solutions become national policy. We are the National Federation of the Blind, and this is the significance of our Washington seminar.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Riccobono, President, National Federation of the Blind, 410-659-9314, Office of the President at nfb.org. Follow President Riccobono on Mastodon. Just search for @president@nfb.social. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind.